The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on February 17, 1988 at New Talavan Farm in Carrier, Mississippi. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 13, Texts 154 to 155.
Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda
Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Text 154, Chapter 13, Madhya Lila. The Lord's dancing at Rathayatra. Rakite tumara jivan sevyami narayan thar sakte asi niti niti tomasane kriya kori niti jaya chadupuri taha tumi manoho moura swoti. This is Krishna speaking to Radharani. You are my most dear, and I know that in my absence you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayana. By His merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy pastimes with you. I then return to Dwaraka Dham. Thus you can always feel my presence here in Vrindavan. Morabhago mo vishoye, tumaje prema hoye. Se prema parama prabha lukaiya mane sanga khorai tumasane prakate yani ve sator. Translation. Our love affair is more powerful because of my good fortune in receiving Narayana's grace. This allows me to come here unseen by others. I hope that very soon I will be visible to everyone. Report. Krishna has two kinds of presence, prakat and aprakat, manifest and unmanifest. Both are identical to the sincere devotee. Even if Krishna is not physically present, the devotee's absorption in the affairs of Krishna makes him present. This is confirmed in Brahma Sanhita 5:38. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hidayeshu vilokayanti yang syama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Due to his intense love, the pure devotee always sees Lord Krishna present within his heart. Jai Sisinitaya Guru. All glories to Govinda, the primeval personality of Godhead. When Krishna is not manifest before the inhabitants of Vrindavana, they are always absorbed in thoughts of Him. Therefore, even though Krishna was living at that time at Dwaraka, He was simultaneously present before all the inhabitants of Vrindavana. This was His aprakat presence. Devotees who are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna will soon see Krishna face to face without a doubt. Devotees who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness and are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna certainly return home back to Godhead. They then see Krishna directly face to face, take prasadam with him and enjoy his company. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Tyaktva dehaṁ punar janamanaiti maneiti sojuna. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. During his lifetime, a pure devotee is always speaking of Krishna and engaging in his service. And as soon as he gives up his body, he immediately returns to Golok Vrindavan, where Krishna is personally present. He then meets Krishna directly. This is successful human life. This is the meaning of prakateha anibe sattar. The pure devotee will soon see the personal manifestation of Lord Sri Krishna. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj is explaining the secret mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bring Krishna in his form as Jagannath back to Vrindavan to meet with Srimati Radharani. All the residents of Vrindavan are in great separation of Krishna. He's been gone for a long time. The gopis used to curse even Lord Brahma because of the separation of one eye blink as being too long. We have to blink our eyes. You see, so that blinking separated their darshan of Krishna, that made them feel more separation. And they were very angry at Lord Brahma for making such a mechanical arrangement that interrupted interrupted their continuous vision of Krishna. So you can imagine, you can imagine actually, but you can get some idea how great a separation. Someone who feels separation for the blink of an eye, how they are able to survive even after years and years together. For Krishna was out of Vrindavan. Here Krishna reveals that actually he's in Vrindavan. But he's there in his aprakat form. So, anyway, we'll discuss that in a second. But this is Lord Chaitanya's mood is bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. And the Gundicha temple in Jagannath Puri is actually considered like it's called the uncle's auntie's house because overtly he's going to see Queen Kunti and going to see the Kurukshetra battle field and do some sacrifice there for the solar eclipse. Remembering that time, but all the Vrajavasis, including Radharani, also came at that time and met with Krishna. So, overtly, Krishna is going to see his auntie, otherwise the queens of Dwarka might not agree to allow Krishna to go, being afraid to lose him. But since it was a regular thing, he goes and visits the Pandavas and Aunt Kunti. So he somehow got permission to go. Or he was able to go without a big drama. Of course, Krishna can go anywhere he wants, but then in this case, he was going without any emotional scenes or anything. When Krishna just leaves like that, the devotees, just like when Krishna wanted to leave Vrindavan, all the gopis were trying to obstruct Akura from taking his chariot out. They were holding the horses, they were laying in the road, they were doing anything they could to stop Krishna from going. They were mad that Krishna was going, as they suspected he wouldn't come back. So, like that, when Krishna was leaving Hastinapur, after the Rajasuya sacrifice, battle of Kurukshetra, then Yudhisthira was also crying and implored him, please stay some more days. So it's difficult for Krishna to move because of the love of his devotees. to hear somehow or another he got out from Dwaraka on this pretext of going for lunar solar eclipse, and he's just going to visit Mother Kunti, his Aunt Kunti. He got out. So, taking advantage, going with his brother and sister, he met with Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, because they also heard he's going, and it was quite close. Dwaraka was far from the ocean, but from Vrindavan to Kurukshetra, not very far. So they all came up, and they could meet Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya, he saw the Rath Yatra in that mood of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. Bringing Krishna back to Radharani, back to the gopis, back to Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj. And he was in that ecstasy. That's the esoteric, special ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya in the Rath Yatra. You see, even in Jagannath Puri, it's not that everyone understands this secret thing. Even at the time of now, many do know because of Lord Chaitanya's movement being preached. So the philosophy is more well known. But at that time, everyone knows that Jagannath's going to, in fact they call Gundicha in Bengali Mashi Buddy, or auntie's house. They're going to see the auntie. And even, you know, most of the historians, they don't know this inner, you see, meaning that Lord Chaitanya knew. That's why when Sub Damodar could understand Lord Chaitanya's mind, then Lord Chaitanya was very astonished how you could know. So, Krishna's Kaviraj here in beautiful poetry, which I'm not able to properly do justice to. He's expressed all these sentiments of Lord Chaitanya the poetry is a different type of meter than the normal. It breaks into four lines. It's a very beautiful poetic expression where Krishna's Kaviraj often does this when he wants to describe some pastime. Gives us more of a different format, different melody. So, just as Lord Jagannath is taken to Vrindavan, in the sense of going to Gundicha, it's like going to Vrindavan, and later in the chapters they'll have performance of Vrindavan pastimes. But while Jagannath is at the Gundicha temple, the time Lord Chaitanya, he just feels like Krishna has come back to Vrindavan. He's in that ecstasy. And there are various pastimes in the Vrindavan gardens. Jagannath Ballabh, I believe they're called gardens, or Vrindavan gardens in Jagannath Puri. So, we are very fortunate to have the Lord Jagannath present at New Talabon. Talabon is one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is also one of the 12 forests of Vraja, the principle. But Talabon is one of those forests where Krishna would have his pastimes. And so that means that this is like Vrindavan. And you can say like Jagannath has come from Dwaraka, Sankirtan Puri, to the Talabon forest to be here. Of course, Padarada Kanta are simultaneously both places. That's by Prabhupada's mercy, only that could happen. But so Jagannath comes here and then spends some time. I don't know how long. In Gundicha, he spends 9 days. I don't know how long Jagannath will spend here. Depends on his devotees. But there he goes 1 day, spends 7 days, and then the 9th day. I mean, 1 day going, 7, the 9th day he comes back. So, when they have a return route, Lord Chaitanya, he didn't go to the return route. Didn't like that one so much. Of course, He sent the devotees and the general people. The personal that was for him was not so enjoyable. When we do our Rath Yatra in Calcutta, we take the deities and then we have a going and coming Rath. We have to also, we have the Prabhupada's mercy again, like in Calcutta, we have Radha Govinda temple, so we're taking Krishna back to Radha Govinda in one sense. We don't feel so bad. There's no alternative. Jagannath Puri, there are many just public that come and pull the Rath. So it wouldn't matter whether Lord Chaitanya personally was there or not on the return Rath. Anyway, we can't imitate Lord Chaitanya, but we can remember his pastimes and we can follow in his footsteps. So, it's an opportunity for us to remember all these pastimes, to serve Lord, the opportunity for the residents of Nutalabon to have a direct opportunity to serve Jagannath Subhadra Baladev. Actually, when Jagannath goes to Gundicha in Jagannath Puri, that time he has separate pujaris. Like the Gundicha pujaris get the right to serve Jagannath. Jagannath pujaris are not allowed to serve until they return Jagannath back to Jagannath Puri. Then those pujaris take over again. Of course, these are all like little details. I don't know. They all have some certain significance. But that's why... Lakshmi, she became angry after the fifth day and had that Hara Panchami, where she sent her servants to Lord Jagannath, to Gundicha. Now, why you're delaying so long? Why you're not coming back? And there's a whole other pastime where she arrests Jagannath's servants and threatens them that they have to immediately bring Jagannath back. Because and Krishna plays the part of a husband with Queens of Dwarka, so some of them, they think that Krishna is like the henpecked husband or something. But actually, of course, Krishna is independent, but out of love, all these different pastimes go on. It's unfortunate that, you see, in the world today, people have such an impersonal conception of God. Is God. The one that you pray to so you can pass your college exams. And when someone gets sick and when you're in a war, when there's an earthquake, pray to God. But that we can have a personal relationship with the Lord, that we have an eternal relationship, that the Lord is having all these wonderful qualities and loving nature to Him. You see, people in the Western world have actually been deprived of this esoteric knowledge. Actually, people in America are 99 or 98% who believe in God. I read some statistics somewhere, someone told me. I don't know the update. That was maybe 10 years ago. Maybe it's changed now. But anyway, it's quite high. Vast majority of people believe in God, but they have no information about the personality of Godhead. So, actually, although they are God-believing peoples, in practical life, the Lord doesn't have so much of a relationship with them, or through a certain kind of unique American sajya tendencies in the prevalent religions here, they tend to just like take the Lord for granted and go on with relishing sense gratification as the principal source of inspiration in their life. It's like at the Mardi Gras, you'll see sometimes a rare person, I mean most of the people are very friendly and very nice and very kind in all their dealings. But you know, you find some people who, although they're, you know, they're drunk, they're enjoying in their own way, But then they'll yell out something like, you know, Jesus Christ or this or that, you know. And identifying themselves as being basically God believing. But then they'll, you see, you can see that although they believe in God, all right, they may believe in Son of God, so on. They don't know that there's really an alternative to sense gratification or that that hasn't been provided. And they're just absorbed in serving Kali Yuga, engaging in meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. Yet they have the personal, or maybe not all, most of them, usually all of them, some less than others. Yet they don't know that there's actually a personal relationship they can have with the Lord. It's kind of an anachronism. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, giving them the greatest mercy, by bringing over the Krishna consciousness movement so that they could understand what life is really about, what devotion is all about. Devotion to Krishna, devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a very special commodity. And certainly we respect that religious people from all sects have got a certain degree of devotion. But whether devotion is pure devotion or mixed with karma or mixed with jnana, that very fine analysis is performed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he compels his followers to also judge themselves to try to practice anyabhilashita sunyam bhakti, or devotional service without any other tinge or motive. At least that should be their goal, even if they haven't come up to their platform yet. That should be their goal. They should understand that is the perfection. Not that a lower standard would be acceptable as the ultimate objective. It's important because even if one may not be at the purest state, but if they have a desire to reach a pure state, that desire will carry them forward in their spiritual life. The person thinks there's nothing wrong with what he's doing and he's not properly situated. It's very difficult for that person to expect to change. Just like years ago, people didn't think that smoking cigarettes was bad. So it's proliferated to such an extent that, you know, everyone was smoking. Then they started seeing so much cancer has come. So then they started studying whether non-smokers and smokers, what's it do? They found that, well, smoking definitely promotes cancer. So now there's a lot of propaganda. Government has even become involved. You have to put warnings on every pack. Even recently, they're outlawed advertising in many places. It's like practical example. So in general, many people, they have the information that's available to them that smoking is bad. And say a great number of people have stopped smoking. A lot of people that are smoking, they maybe are habituated to smoking, or they think that in the future it's better if I don't smoke. See, that consciousness is there. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we don't expect that everyone immediately is going to become at the highest level of pure devotion. That's a very difficult thing to attain in one sense. It's not very difficult in another sense, but I mean, say ordinarily it might be a very high objective. But if in general people can understand there is a personality of Godhead, we are eternal spirit souls, they start to know more and more, eventually they can come to appreciate that pure devotional service is actually the perfection of is the pure love for God that all religions say is the goal. So then these people can say, well, this is the objective. Then on that basis, you know, like even now there are of course some belligerent people that just don't care, they smoke to anyway, but there are a lot of people that are kind of smoke apologetically, you know. I mean, they don't like to smoke, but just can't buck the habit, so to speak. So at least people should come up to that kind of level, conscientiously fallen. They're trying to improve themselves. They like to improve themselves. They're especially if they're trying to improve themselves, Prabhupada considered that to be very glorious. I mentioned before on some occasion how we were in Mayapur. Well, actually this was in Bombay. And somehow I came to know about it. Prabhupada got a letter from, maybe it was in Mayapur, also was confirmed by Giriraj in Bombay, I forget the exact detail. But anyway, somehow Prabhupada got a letter from some disciples in the West. Not disciples, but friends of Krishna, congregational members. They wrote to him that we're husband and wife, and we've been coming to your temples and reading your books, and we've been chanting Hare Krishna, and we aspire in the future to be your disciples. You see, but although we'd like to follow perfectly, feel ourselves very unqualified, because although we're trying to follow the four regulative principles, when we get with our friends, sometimes they encourage us to take some intoxication, and due to social pressure, sometimes we're not able to say no, we're weak, and we fall down in this way. Sometimes we want to be strict, only having regulated family connections, but we're not able to do it all the time. Like this, they went into little detail about some of the difficulties they were having, but all in a very positive sense, of very humble, but very in the sense that they wanted to follow, and they're actually trying, and they're hoping that in the future they could get all these difficulties straightened out and be able to take full shelter. And actually, when Prabhupada read that letter, he started to cry. And for some days he was calling in big life members and people on this, and quoting from the letter. That's how everyone knew about it. But look at how in the Western world they're struggling to be Krishna conscious. They're fighting with Maya, fighting with Kali. And then indirectly that they see the Indians who may have also similar habits, but they don't even think about trying to, maybe not such a gross, but maybe subtle habits they have, or some tea or this or that, whatever it might be, maybe not grossly entangled, but subtly, in so many ways they have their own problems, but they don't try to improve themselves sometimes. So Prabhupada was pushing on that nerve, and then actually they started feeling, actually they're struggling to be Krishna conscious. What are we doing? We're just allowing ourselves to just, although we have opportunity, we're just, stagnating. So, just having a proper focus on what is the purpose of Krishna consciousness, and actually working to achieve that. It's like someone may chant 4 rounds in a day. That's very good. In a year, that means that they're chanting 2.5 million times Hare Krishna, the name of Krishna. Even a person can chant 1 round a day, that means they're chanting, all right, 1/4 of 2.5 million, whatever it works out. It adds up. Just like they say, if there's a leaky faucet, dropping a drop every few seconds, after a while, if they calculate per month, you lose like a tremendous amount of money in your water bill if you have to pay a municipal water bill, because so many gallons of water end up going out. So you reverse it in the same way. Person is maybe even saving, whether by drops or whether by cups or whether by buckets. It adds up. You see, even some devotees have told me that by chanting one round a day and just sticking to that, they get more and more strength to chant more and more rounds. And they felt the strength. So we try to encourage devotees on different levels to go on chanting. We gradually try to increase their chanting. And this way, those devotees who are already kind of ahead of the game, they've taken the shelter of Guru and Krishna, they're like safe, in a sense. They're safe from the gross attacks of Maya. Of course, Maya may be attacking, but they're already taken shelter, so they're safe in one sense. The persons who are out there in the material world, who have not yet been able to take full shelter, they're not safe. They're always being smashed by Maya, and they're getting kicked in different ways. And they're suffering in different ways also. But by, initially they have to fight, the fight is kind of all in the mind in one sense, that it's due to their attachments, it's due to, but it's a real fight, because that's what mind and what senses we have. We have to deal with them until we purify them, until we develop our Krishna consciousness more. For the person who's living outside the material, the spiritual direct association, that it's a struggle. So, by endeavoring, by fighting or whatever with Maya, then this earns the special mercy of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. Prabhupada was so appreciative. We know that his blessings are there for someone who's trying to be Krishna conscious. And even whatever one can do to build up their strength, Prabhupada recommended even coming and staying in a temple sometime, if not permanently, even just for some time, just to get a little bit like a summer camp or a little training or however you like to call it, weekend or a week or month, whatever, and become stronger. And then be more able to defend against the attacks of Maya. The people here in the West, you see, they don't have this understanding about different levels of devotional service. When I initially started telling my previous ashram mother, who everyone knows here, spent so much time here in Numan and Sankirtanpur, New Orleans. When I first met her, she said, well, everything I do is sinful according to you. I'm just living a normal American life, but you say it's all sinful. In other words, they have totally different values. What they consider to be quite good and pious by the Krishna conscious evaluation doesn't even rate, you know, hardly, it doesn't relate rate to civilized human life. Killing of animals, etc., etc. I mean, there's so many, you know. It's not considered to be civilized. It's like a very sophisticated hunter kind of existence. That's a tradition, you know, from Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone and the pioneers. They used to be hunting buffaloes and deer and things like that, you know, and it's kind of developed from there. It's only 200 years old, this country. So they can still develop further and become civilized even in the future. You know, what is civilization? It's a whole other discussion. Prabhupada said real civilization means having God in the center. That means that there's actually peace and harmony can be established. So Prabhupada brought this whole message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, all right, the Western civilization has everything materially developed, technology, everything. What they just require is adding Krishna, adding the spiritual touch, uplifting the whole consciousness. Even they believe in God. So they have, it's like some civilization is there, but it's not evolved to the level where they can really focus on a personal relationship with God yet, with the personality of Godhead. But that's what the Krishna conscious movement is trying to do in this difficult situation, is to actually bring the people in a much more and into their complete awareness of who they are, who is the personality of Godhead, what is their relationship. Actually, we're not in competition with any religions that are existing. What we're actually trying to do is take the people from all the existing religions and then give them a greater awareness of the basic things that may be there. Like Jesus said, love God. But how can you love God if you don't know anything about Him? It's like if you try to, you know, the people are pen pals. And you write to someone, you know, I want to learn to love my pen pal. But whenever you write, what do you do? What do you look like? This and this, write back, you know, blank, you know. It's very hard to develop much of a relationship. How people can develop a relationship with God if they don't know anything about Him? They just know omnipotent, omnipresent. He can do anything. Then He's already, He's come down here 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan, and He went with His brother and sister on a chariot with so many, devotees, and He went and visited Dwarka to Kurukshetra, and such that, and He went and visited Vrindavan, so on and so forth. Oh, how can that be? Where's the question of saying God can do anything? If you say He can't do this, He can't do that, then you're limiting. So, someone should prove that Krishna says, Aham Sarasya Pallava, everything is coming from Me. I am the Supreme Father of everyone. Aham Bija Prata Pita. You see, I've come down from the spiritual world. So, because Jesus says He's the Son of God, so then how can you prove that Krishna is not the Father? In South America, there are Christian priests and nuns who have privately experimented chanting Hare Krishna. Even here in America, there's some monk who's taken initiation, I heard from Veer Krishna Maharaj. So by chanting Hare Krishna, they feel quite satisfied, most that Jesus is... Krishna is the Father, He is the Supreme. They don't feel alienated from Jesus by being a devotee. Similarly, we have disciples in Muslim countries and they don't feel alienated from Hazrat Muhammad by practicing Krishna consciousness. They just feel that this is kind of a natural evolution of just knowing more. There's so many religions in the world that give you a basic idea. Some moral standard. But what Lord Chaitanya has given us, even a secret, even in Jagannath Puri where they are worshipping Krishna, they didn't know all the details about Krishna's pastimes. They didn't know all the significance even of the Rath Yatra. They know that Krishna is a person, they know He has all these pastimes, but they didn't know what His relationship was with the Vrindavan residents. You see, that's why you get some people look in the dictionary, it says Krishna is the eighth avatar of Vishnu. They don't even know. You see, they go, well, who is Vishnu? Who is Krishna? Even Krishna Himself, when He comes, He plays the role like a human being almost. Although sometimes He just does anything He wants as a Supreme Person. He lifts up mountains and just builds a city in the middle of the ocean by His mystic power. That city of Dwarka, by the way, recently was discovered. They claim it's the same city. Krishna, after He left, the city sank in the ocean, and recently they've discovered a city under the ocean off the coast of Gujarat. And they're trying to explore it using the modern ocean exploration techniques. I don't know how far. You haven't heard much more than that. So, all these things... Historically, Krishna was there. There's no doubt about it. The city of Dwarka was there. Govardhan is there, was there. These pastimes all were performed. They were recorded. And they're appreciated by the devotees. But only the pure devotees can get a full understanding of these pastimes. And that's also something which is handed down to the disciplic succession and something which certain devotees have especially realized. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He Himself came to give the very esoteric significance of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna himself came to reveal, all right, I had these pastimes. You know generally what they mean. What do they really signify? This is what they mean. And who did he reveal to? Sarupa Damodar, Rupa Goswami, six Goswamis, like that. So Rupa Goswami has expressed these things and other six Goswamis in their writings. So now we, there, Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami taught Krishna Das Kaviraj. He has also given us this meanings in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada translated the Chaitanya Charitamrita with purports for us. So now we can understand what is some of the esoteric pastimes of the Lord, how the Lord is actually having these different loving relationships. And then we also have a part to play. Now we cannot immediately enter into the Vrindavan pastimes. But just as Krishna was feeling separation from his devotees, even though he's an independent Lord, how incredible. And his devotees, they're always feeling separation from Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya taught that we can serve the Lord in separation. If we're thinking about Krishna, if we're serving Krishna in that separation mood, Krishna is present with us. That is called aprakat, unmanifested presence. Many may not be able to see him, but you can feel it. It's like by chanting Hare Krishna, you may not be able to see Krishna, but you can feel the presence of Krishna. You can experience it. There are blind people, they also eat, they can taste the food. They know it, even though they can't see it. Somehow by chanting Hare Krishna, by serving Krishna, by remembering Krishna, you can feel Krishna's presence. It's a real experience. Just like Madhvacharya, when he was arguing with the Buddhists and with the Mayavadis, they all argue on the basis of mental speculation, on the basis of logic. But then Madhvacharya, he said the point that, I'm not speaking from, you know, it could be this, it could be that, speculation. This is what the Vedas say. This is what I realized. I'm speaking from realization. So therefore, there's no question, it's not a question of just some kind of, you know, mental, well, I believe this, I believe, I realize. These are the words of the Vedas. I practice to what they say, and I realize it. Therefore, there's no question. And on that basis, because he was so, you see, solid in both his Shastra, Sadhu Guru references, at the same time in his absolute faith due to personal realization, that he just won over everyone because they're all on a mental speculative platform. When they came with someone who really knew, to believe, not just due to some kind of blind dogmatic faith, the actual realization. Then they could sense, they could feel it. Well, actually, he's saying, because many people, just like when Prabhupada was discussing, that Lord Chaitanya said, Prativite ache jato nagaradi gram sarvata pacharite hoibe morna. In every town and village throughout the entire world, my message will be spread. This will be sung, will be practiced. The Lord Prabhupada said, look at Lord Chaitanya predicted this. We have to go and preach in foreign countries. We have to spread this message there. It's what Lord Chaitanya predicted. And many of his contemporaries, they would say, well, you know, Prativite, worldwide. At that time, the world was much smaller than today. Civilized world, then basically you see the subcontinent of India, other places, they're not really part of the civilized, you know, they kind of word juggle it around and they would try to redefine the word worldwide. Prativite means world, Prithvi means Bhumi, Mother Earth, means the planet Earth. So Prativite means around the entire planet Earth. Doesn't mean, you see, there's other words you could juggle, but it's pretty clear. Prithvi means it's another name for the personality of the earth who Vraha lifted up from the dirty place in the bottom of the universe. So she's the planet. Bharat Varsa, you know, you say, well, Bharat, nowadays they just say this means India. But all the previous, it meant the whole planet. But Prithvi means the whole planet. There's no doubt about it. The Prithvi is the name for Mother Earth. So everything that's on Earth will be exposed. They will have all the places on earth will have the Krishna conscious movement reach at least all the villages and towns. And maybe some open field, there's no people. It's another thing. So, Prabhupada, he said, no. Lord Chaitanya meant Prithivi Te, that means the whole world. And that's why they'd be discussing. And they didn't want to hear it, they didn't want to accept. The Prabhupada had the realization that no, Lord Chaitanya's movement is the solution. It is absolute. He had faith in the order of his Guru and order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he took it up. Therefore, it was successful. So, now we have, although we're here, you see, most of us are, not all, but most of us are born in this Western world, far away from the knowledge of Krishna, but Prabhupada brought us the message, and we now have this opportunity to understand who we are, who the Supreme Personality of God is. Many have already understood. Now they're engaging in direct devotional service and realizing. So, we owe so much to Srila Prabhupada. We owe everything to him. Just as he had that vision, there will always be some people that, although they have some faith, but their faith is not that developed. They don't have that realization. Like Madhvacharya, he had the faith, but on absolute basis. We see that in the Parampara, Prabhupada had a similar absolute kind of commitment or faith, at least to our perspective. Historically, it's there. So, that's what the Krishna conscious movement is about, not just to teach theory, but to bring people to the actual realization. So to realize means you have to practice. You have to practice Krishna consciousness, and then you can realize. Theoretically, there are many scholars. Professors. That are experts on Indology, Indian culture, Indian philosophy. They'll tell you all the different philosophies. But if you ask which one you believe in, they don't believe in any. They know what they all are, but they get bewildered because they know this one, that one. They can't really figure out, well, which is the right one, or all right, this one seems to be better, but the faith doesn't come because what? They're not practicing. They're just trying to study it through some kind of, comparative study. And as a result, faith doesn't, they appreciate all the different philosophies, but they don't have faith in any one of them. In many cases, you find the situations like that. Even if they would have a leaning towards one, because of some kind of, nowadays you may have to be like to be a professor or something to keep your academic status. You have to be neutral, right? If you believe in anyone, then you become a practitioner. You become, somehow lose your neutrality. So they remain in some kind of so-called neutral state where they don't believe in anything. They just know on those subjects. So, this is not what Prabhupada was presenting, that people should just have some dry knowledge, but actually wanted to give everyone realization, that they could realize. And by practicing Krishna consciousness, people realize the presence of Krishna. Just as Krishna said to Radharani, that when in Vrindavan, I visit you in Vrindavan, you can feel my presence. Or just like Lord Chaitanya, he told Mother Sachi, that I come to you every day and I take lunch. Every day I come and take your offerings. Since you feel me there, and even one time, sometimes even I physically eat half of the offering. But you think that, well, maybe it's the deity playing some joke on you. I do that just to prove to you, actually I came. How no one else knows that this happened. When you see that happen, you wonder, how come have fun? How did this happen? And you think maybe you're dreaming or something. You forget about it. It's actually because I'm actually coming and taking your prasad. So I'm with you. Don't feel separated. Don't feel bad. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya, he encouraged his mother, although physically he couldn't be with her. He was preaching around India, or he was worshipping Krishna and Vrindavan and Jagannath Puri. But he was also being with her. But that's called aprakat. And she couldn't see him. She could feel him. Even sometimes some of the prasad be missing. It indicate that someone ate it. She feel the presence of Lord Chaitanya. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, we can also feel the presence of Krishna. Even a very new devotee, in a big kirtan, they feel some tremendous energy, something special. But the mind can't really figure out where does it come from, what's it all about. We feel something. Anyone, even a new person, they can feel something. And as one goes on practicing more and more devotional service, they can actually feel Krishna always. In fact, when someone's in a level of bhava, they're always feeling some connection with Krishna. That's why if for even a moment someone wants to discuss some other topic, or if the devotional service is interrupted, they feel some uneasiness, some kind of like spiritual withdrawal symptoms where they don't feel at ease, not being directly in contact with Krishna service. You see, it's kind of just the reverse. In the beginning of spiritual life, someone, when they are practicing Krishna consciousness, they feel a little bit uneasy with being separated from their sense gratification. It's like we get light members come to Mayapur, and in Mayapur there's no smoking, there's no tea drinking, there's no coffee drinking, there's no, all the four principles are practiced. They like it, they go to the temple, they say we're cool. But then like in the morning, most Indians have become addicted to tea drinking. So even the very big millionaires, they can't live without their cup of tea. So they send their servant out to the front gate, go outside the gate, and then go to the tea stalls. They fill up their thermos bottle of tea, and they kind of bring it in, you know, like under their coat. And, you know, kind of look real, you know, a little ashamed, you know, but, you know, they can't live without their morning tea. Their body doesn't function. Now we're trying to get some decaf tea to provide them within the compound so they don't have to go through this kind of humiliating visit to the tea stalls. But in the beginning of spiritual life, although one likes spiritual life, but still they're like so bound into certain material activities that sometimes they feel uneasy. They have to go and, you know, have a little respite from back to some material activity. But see, that gradually, as one chants and cultivates, that gradually, that influence starts to disappear. It doesn't happen over, it's a gradual process. And eventually one becomes fixed in devotional service, gets rid of all these anarthas, takes shelter of the guru, becomes fixed, develops a taste for devotional service on a much more positive level, on a continuous taste, relishment, and then becomes really attached to Krishna consciousness. And then finally, achieves ecstatic love for Krishna, which I already explained. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his pastimes, he shows us the highest level of pure love for Krishna. We can't imitate that. Only Radharani and Lord Chaitanya and Madhavendra Puri ever showed such ecstatic symptoms. But even hearing about them purifies us, and we can start to appreciate how wonderful is pure devotion for Krishna. His following devotees didn't manifest Mahabhava, but they had pure love. And similarly, we can hope by their mercy to achieve pure love for Krishna in the future. And immediately, by the Lord's mercy, by chanting Krishna's name, we can feel the presence of Krishna. So this is actually the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to serve Krishna in separation. Because Lord Chaitanya wanted his devotees to spread this movement to the fallen souls. Therefore, by serving the Lord, doing what he wants in devotional service, one can always feel the presence of the Lord because one's carrying out his instructions. So while one is preaching, even though it's very difficult sometimes, traveling or preaching or doing some, why do devotees feel an intense spiritual enthusiasm? Even though physically, mentally, sometimes they feel other sensations, but along with it, they, at the end of the day, they feel a tremendous, just like yesterday, feel a tremendous energy. Just like yesterday, devotees were 7 hours on the rath carts, chanting and distributing Jagannath buttons and pendants and long hours there. Yet so many devotees expressed at the end how they felt, felt so blissful, even though so many hours, even though physically they were tired, they're sure no one took too long to drift off into sleep when they lay down. But in spite of all that, physical, but they actually felt a lot of spiritual energy, spiritual inspiration. Why? Because Krishna was present, because everyone was absorbed in serving Krishna. So this serving Krishna in separation is an immediate means, immediate. No rain check, no postponement, immediate way we can feel the presence of Krishna. If Krishna is present, that means we're getting purified. So seeing Krishna may take a long time, because that's up to Krishna when he wants to reveal himself. Nobody can demand that Krishna has to reveal himself. But by Krishna Chaitanya's mercy, we can feel Krishna's presence very quickly. And by feeling Krishna's presence, by being in the presence of Krishna, as Prabhupada explains here in the purport, he then meets Krishna in the future. The pure devotee will soon see the personal manifestation of Lord Shri Krishna. So although Krishna is speaking to Radharani, and this is being mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually Prabhupada is explaining that you can take it in this sense. Just as Krishna is telling Radharani, you serve me in separation, I'll soon we'll be together in a visible way. But actually, indirectly, he's telling all the conditioned souls, you chant my holy name, you serve me in separation, and soon we'll be together, and we'll be seeing each other face to face, and we'll be enjoying transcendental pastimes. So, this type of esoteric understanding of all these pastimes is difficult for someone to decide. You can't understand this by mental speculation. This is revealed by the Lord himself and by devotees who have realized these matters. Well, as I mentioned before, we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to serve Jagannath Subhadra Baladev here in New Talavan. While they're here in Vrindavan, so we are very fortunate to take Jagannath with us on the Rath Yatra processions. Actually, Lord Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya got all the animals in Jarikanda to dance. He said, at least try to get the human beings to dance. Maybe you're not Lord Chaitanya, you can't get animals and elephants and tigers and lions and deers to all start singing Hare Krishna and embrace each other. At least get the human beings to sing and dance. So yesterday that happened to some degree. Even some of them were dressed with animals. As bees and crabs and so many kinds. So this way the devotees are fulfilling Prabhupada's instructions. So far, any questions or comments? Any other Vaishnavas have any realizations? Any questions? Yes? I didn't see more than just didn't see hardly any negative responses. Very few. And many, mostly quite positive. My memory is not so great to be able to, and traveling like I do, a lot of inputs are going in there. So it's not, last year's Mardi Gras is not as fresh in my mind. Maybe it's someone here. But from my own impression, it seemed to be quite positive. Did you feel it was more positive this year? A lot of devotees express that. I don't know. I think it's true. I haven't yet. I don't know the date. I made some commitment to go to Bangladesh. And if I could coordinate with Rikadar, the schedules of the devotees visiting India, because I've heard about that, because we're having some different preaching programs, visiting certain organized groups of the Namhat. Some of these can expect to have thousands of people attending. But I'd like to coordinate a little better exactly what the devotees are planning to do and how we could possibly organize things so that the devotees could attend. But as far as the Bhavani Rath Yatra, usually they have it right before or after the Gaur Purnima festival, where I'm really somehow tied down. But I heard that it's a nice Rath Yatra. So it's a long route, and they get a good response from the people. Not as big as Calcutta. That's at the time of Jagannath Puri. Calcutta and Jagannath Puri are linked together. You have to have the Rath Yatra the same day, whatever the day is for the Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra, which is generally in the month, end of June or middle of July. Changes like Gaur Purnima. This year I think it will be July 15th, so it's pretty far off. I usually go right after the Panihati festival in Atlanta straight to the Calcutta Rath Yatra. Panihati comes a couple of weeks before the Rath Yatra.
Sorry, but I used to say someone was experimenting with something. It was within the protection of Sadhu Shastra Guru, protected, but it was also mentioned it could be dangerous. Be careful. The results from that were good. That would be an indication that Prabhupada favored it, or could you give indications that it wasn't pleased to Prabhupada by the result or by the symptoms? say a good medicine, or say it be an ancient technique, or something new, different. But you had the coverage of Sakya Shastra Guru, but it was still questionable. How would you tell at that point?
Really complicated question. If something has the shelter of Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra, then how is it still questionable?
Well, I suppose
it's
a
question. It's either has the shelter or doesn't have the shelter. Or you don't know if it has the shelter or not. Then is it. Is something.
Is there such thing as questionable shelter?
No, it means we don't know. That still means that it's our, again, our lack of knowledge. What, preaching, you see, is an area where, you see, in our disciplic succession, in the Vedic culture, just like in the Prabhupada's books, he states that the Sanskrit word slipped my mind. There's certain rituals. This is a very important word. I just can't remember but that are obligatory for us to do. And the format of those rituals have certain essential features to them, which you can't really change. At least, you know, some may condense it, you may expand it, but there's certain features which are there. You know, like in a wedding, there'll be certain features. And you can do it in 1 hour, you can do it in 3 days. But you know, even in the 1 hour, you're going to find the basic, minimum, certain oaths and certain exchanges and something will be there. It's not that it's be totally, you know, the 3 hour will be expansion of it. The same thing, it's maybe more elaborate, more mantras, more whatever. So similarly, within the Vedic culture, even as applied in Krishna consciousness, a certain basic things are always maintained. You know, just like taking initiation or whatever. The certain basic things are there. But in preaching, in bringing people to the point where they're attracted to Krishna consciousness, Rupa Goswami is given like Thakur Das, like in a legal, when you have like a legal, like a register, a document, like you're making a society, you say, what are the purposes of the society? Do this, or a corporation, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then at the end you say, and anything which fulfills the objectives, or something that's like a kind of universal clause, you can fit in, you know, right? Isn't there you can put a clause like that? So Rupa Goswami says, yena tena prakarena. Krishna manana yosate. By whatever means, yena tena prakarena, by whatever means, you can get someone to be attracted to Krishna. So when he said to him, it's like that really kind of opens the door to, of course, how to apply it. That's where you discuss with Vaishnava, which I think, because you don't want to. But there is that kind of universal clause. Whatever will ultimately get someone to be attracted to Krishna consciousness. But then, of course, once they're attracted to Krishna, then the next verse he says, then you introduce rules and regulations and things like that. In initial states, get them attracted, get them to accept Krishna, to Krishna mana, to, when they accept Krishna, they're attracted to Krishna. Once they reach that level, then the next stage of introducing now how to become fixed in devotional service and how to avoid things which are actually be harmful to your spiritual progress. Then the next. I memorized only the first two lines. The other two I know, but then the other two are that follow the rules and regulations. After they are, I say, because say some new person comes, immediately starts saying, and this is what tends to turn a lot of people away. Someone just comes for the first time and someone tells him, why don't you shave up? You got dirty socks. Just somebody just get on their case for something. And then my people get frustrated. Well, what's all this, Or you're a demon. You eat meat, So then they go away and they say this, So Rupa Goswami said, no, that's not the first thing. You don't present in the orders. You don't even necessarily, we may state, we follow these systems, we do this, this is our standard, that's all right. But as far as preaching to someone, that the system is first get them to accept Krishna, to believe in Krishna, or to appreciate Krishna. I don't know, the word Krishna, mana, it's quoted in Prabhupada's verse, purports, but I don't remember the English translation. But mana means like it's kind of a very broad word, because man comes from mind. The Krishna mana, the Gosate, means that bring them where they, they accept, they appreciate everything. It's a broad word that could cover all those things. And once they come to that level, then you can start to introduce, all right, because they won't be steady unless they do follow some rules and regulations. It'll be very, be like Hati Snan. The elephant goes and bathes and the river comes out and throws dirt on his back. They'll get some nectar, they'll go, and because they don't know better, they'll spoil their consciousness again. But once they taste a little nectar, once they come to a certain point, then you start to introduce gradually, according, proportionately. Even Prabhupada explains that what the 10th offense of the holy name means is that after hearing so many instructions in the holy name, when someone actually already has come level, he believes in Krishna, accepts Krishna, he knows this is the absolute truth. Still, he doesn't really try to surrender and go further. At that point, then becomes offensive. Because they've already got so much mercy, they come to that point. That individual has to agree, has to personally, you no one can force someone else to surrender. Everyone has to do it themselves. Once they come to a certain level of maturity and devotional service, they should start to get rid of the anarthas, get rid of the unwanted habits, get rid of unwanted things, and become more regulated in the devotional service. Take surrender, take shelter. You see, but that's something that a person has to do himself. Preaching, we try to bring them up to that level and then make them feel the necessity of it at the appropriate time. So Lord Rupa Goswami has given us, the scope in preaching, but naturally, it has to be used with some caution. But ultimately, the fruit, whether it works or not, whether we're right or not, is whether the people accept Krishna. I mean, Chintamani used the most bizarre means of making Vila Mangal Thakur a devotee that you could ever dream of. But that doesn't mean no one should imitate her. But because somehow it works, all right, she's, But then Prabhupada said actually she was the guru who reincarnated to stay the disciple. So we don't, we avoid the kind of, risky kind of, we try not to come down to the level of materialistic people engaged in. We don't break any principles. But within, keep maintaining our own purity and our own association with the Vaishnavas and avoiding committing any offenses and all the other things, if we can get people to become gradually more attracted to Krishna consciousness through a gradual cultivation of friendship, or whatever it is, through any means, as Rupa Goswami said, the ultimate test will be whether they actually can accept Krishna. If that success is achieved, even in one case, well then, that's a success. Now then the temple authorities may say, well look, by your particular procedure, you have made X number of devotees Krishna conscious. But by this other way, you get a better result. So let's stick with that. Just like there may be so many ways of preaching, Prabhupada said, like book distribution. So there may be other, Vaishnavas that have different theories, deity worship or this or that or anything. But Prabhupada said, but Prabhupada stressed, Bhaktisiddhanta stressed, book distribution in this age. When other proposals were given up, movies, etc., etc., he said, all right, he stressed book distribution. Someone can do that, but this is not, we're not going to stop book distribution for that. Books are our basis. So, we do follow the parampara, even though that universal class is given. We have to analyze that also according to the guidelines already practiced by previous acharyas. Otherwise someone may come up with some new theories, but if it's something that Prabhupada has already given some direction, then you can feel very secure in that. If it's something a little new, to see the results, analyze it, see the effect on devotees' consciousness. They're not getting any bad effect. You know, just like someone can say, well, I'll leave the movement and I'll go out and do business, and by doing the business I'll make $1 million and then I'll make so many people Krishna conscious by my example. We hear that sometimes, but then, you know, while they're making their $1 million, which they don't, well, mostly 99% don't ever make, maybe 1% might make it, or make any, you know, solid financial base. You know, 99% they just kind of get overwhelmed by the material nature and their own sadhana, bhakti, everything goes down the drain. So that's why we already, you know, this is when someone comes up with that line, we take it with about a pound and a half of salt. Doesn't sound like sweet rice anymore, because we've seen so many good devotees just leave the association of devotees, you know, Vaishnavas, for this objective of preaching by their good business example, and then neither they're good at business nor is their example worthy of following after a period of time. You can count them on your fingers how many devotees are able to do business and maintain some kind of exemplary standard. They're there. You can count, you know, 4 or 5 figures, the numbers of people that don't make it. So, if you ask a general question, but, you know, some devotee has a specific thing in their mind, you know, that's, anyway, I'm obliged to give a general answer. And most of these things, because we have our, that's why we're so fortunate this time. We have temple presidents, we have other Vaishnavas. We discuss it. Yeah, sounds all right. We have some references, Prabhupada's own example or some instruction. Person tries something, may work, may not work. If it works, if it brings people to Krishna, a person can cultivate the people and make them devoted. Very good. Then eventually they can also come up and start to follow more. So in preaching, there is a scope for a little experimentation. Then one has to not be so attached to it. If it's successful, all right, everyone will accept it. If it's not, over a reasonable period of time, then, you know, back to the drawing board. It's like in Russia and other places, they have to do a lot of yenatena prakarina because the situation is such. They can't do Harinam on the street generally. They did once. They can't do a lot of things that can't walk around with your bead bag. You have to chant on your fingers or using some counter or something. Or chant in your room, not in public. Some places of the world it's so difficult, they have to do a lot of creative preaching. There's no other way.
But basically, if it's off base, the results will show before long. Krishna will let you keep on having a good result if it's not pleasing him. If it's not pleasing Prabhupada, you keep having a good result time and time and time and time again. Can you still be off subtly somewhere? Of course we're off somewhere. On a serious point. Have there been Vaishnavas who've gone for long periods of time having very good positive results and still in the end it's, you see that they, you know, they were seriously wrong somewhere?
No, it's like practically speaking, the Prabhupada made many pure devotees, people that fully practice Krishna consciousness. 16 rounds, four principles, offering the prasad, etc., etc. Now, practically speaking, preaching in India and Bangladesh, there are many groups that do preaching, but they're not following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's formula. So, even the public, they comment. Even the other gurus comment. I met one guru, he's had 2,000 disciples. He was preaching. But then I asked how many of those disciples were pure vegetarians. He said maybe 10. He wasn't sure about that. He never stressed that so much to them. He said, well, if you like, do it, you know. So they didn't do it. But he had the result of disciples, but they weren't pure. So ultimately, you know, for us, because Krishna Prabhupada has given us a standard, in the long run, you know, some program may be short-term, some may be long-term. In the end, if we can see that someone actually becomes situated in pure devotional service, or is really making progress to that end, see, because we have that goal, or that standard. See, that's how we judge it. Now, you get other people, they get tremendous amounts of followers of some sort or another. But there's no purity, or there's no spiritual force. So that's where we don't want that. Ultimately, that's how we analyze. But it's not that certain programs might be very long term. So you see whether people are, just like we do the Namha preaching, and you get people to, if you understand me, so why don't you stand from him and realize you're finding that some people are becoming pure devotees, and many people are advancing. But, you know, there were people, in that program, people come kind of in a different, you know, each one has their own time schedule. Some people come real quick, some people come slowly. There's so many other questions, there's so many other, you know, this like becomes very kind of, rhetorical kind of a question. All these practical things, we're in a society where we have authorities, we have devotees, so then we analyze, we discuss, we evaluate, and we see what are the results, what are the potentials, what are the... Any kind of congregational program takes more time. Just like we had a program in one country, but so difficult that our devotees kept falling down, so we had to readjust them. It was too difficult a situation. Or just like sometimes you see temples send their preachers so far away to do collection in foreign countries. So the preachers, they're out of association for so long that they start to get spiritually weak. So even though they're producing the result of bringing income to their temple, in the long run those devotees, a lot of them fall by the wayside. So, you're asking a very rhetorical question for a very broad kind of thing, which I don't think is possible just to give, you know, some kind of...
I think I understand.
Everything has to be evaluated. Like Prabhupada said, we preach Krishna consciousness wherever it's favorable. Not that we won't preach everywhere, but wherever we get an easy, favorable place, we try there first. So Prabhupada said he did half the work. He did establish temples around the world. The other half was established Varnashram. So that's like an uncharted area. Some people may be doing it in different ways, through folk or namhad or through whatever program. Contact sales they do in Italy. Sell them rugs and things and sets of books there. So that's a whole big area, how to make the world a devotion. Feel that the spiritual life is ultimate objective. Varnashram means that people put spiritual perfection as the goal of life. That's the difference between Varnashram and materialism. In Varnashram there's sense gratification, in materialism there's sense gratification. But Varnashram, that's not the goal. The goal is spiritual emancipation. And Dvaita Varnashram, goal is love for Krishna.